Okay, I'm glad to see so many of you here now. It's never happened before, so many in the second time that they see me. Emil, one of the teaching assistants, has already joined us. Maybe you can come up here so the online audience can also see you. Jürgen will follow in a minute, and then you will see also his face. So this afternoon, maybe you want to say a few words about yourself? No need to be shy. Okay, thanks. This afternoon, we'll go into MATLAB. So we'll have a small presentation, but this is an exercise session, and MATLAB is something you can learn best by doing it yourself. So I lost MATLAB. Oh, there it is. So I will regularly switch between the presentation and the MATLAB GUI. I should go back. There. Does everybody have MATLAB installed already? People who don't have that? Are you in the process of installing it now or? Okay, so it will be there. Oh, there is Jürgen also. Maybe you can show yourself also to the online audience. So then you know both of the TAs. They will be here for about an hour now, helping where needed, and they will be here also next week. Yeah. Okay, let's go to MATLAB. I will regularly pause where there is. It's your turn to try out stuff yourself. Yeah. A bit of the overview of what I'm going to do, but that's not important. This is the interface that you will see. There could be some slight deviations, but generally you see a command window here, a number of files on this side, a program here, and then a workspace with the variables. If I now go to my own interface, it's slightly different. I have decoupled the program itself, so that's on my screen at the moment, and so you don't see it here. That's not that important. You can dock it and undock it, but still, number of files, something about this particular file that I've selected. You can find here. If there is a variable here, you'll find information about that variable there. Still, the command window, workspace, and a command history. So you can adjust it slightly. That's not that important what it looks like. Make sure it looks like something you prefer. The reason I undock the program itself is because then I can have it full screen while still look at what output it produces. Okay. MATLAB differs from your general programming language in the sense that it is a mathematical programming language. And I can use MATLAB therefore also for various other tasks like a simple calculator. So we can try that in the beginning. Let me go there. Yeah. We go to the where's my mouse? There. We go to the command window, which then gets a dark colored top line, and then you know that you're there. And then we can do any kind of calculation. So what is a nice calculation to do? For example, calculate 7 times 13. And the answer is 91. Here it says ANS, which stands for answer, and the answer is 91. There are a number of built-in functions in MATLAB that you don't see in other programs. I don't know all of them, and there's no need to know all of them, but I think factor is a function that is built in, which does the factorization. So maybe if I try factor 91, it factors 91 back in 7 and 13. So 91 is 7 times 13. We'll see more of these functions later on. I can assign variables also. I could say, for example, x is 7 and y equals 13. And every time it repeats what I do, you see that. So I typed X is 7, enter, and then it says X is 7. That's nice. I just typed it, so I knew that already. Y is 13, I get the same. Now I can just ask, what is X times Y? It tells me again the answer is 91. Or I can say Z equals X times Y. I have a new variable. It tells me Z is 91. Sometimes it's annoying that you get these this output directly. CLC clears the screen, by the way. So CLC removes that. So I can say X equal clear all. When I do clear all, you see I have a number of variables already in my workspace. X, Y, and Z, and answer, which is always the last answer that I got. Yeah, I can remove them by the command clear all. I can remove one of them. I don't need X anymore, so clear X, and you'll see it disappear. Clear all are gone. Not often a lot of need for this clearing. If you close MATLAB, everything is gone also. But let's go back. Let's start again. X is 7, but I don't want it to report back to me because I just typed X is 7. If I end with a semicolon, it doesn't give me feedback. Y is 13. And then I can say Z is X times Y. And it does the calculation. But I don't want to see the output. So I can suppress it by the semicolon. Or semicolon, a dot and a comma. I see here what the value is anyway. I could have asked for 7 times 13 and then I suppress the answer. But that doesn't really make sense, right? If I use it as a calculator, I do want to see the answer. I see it in the workspace, but not elsewhere. So what do we see now? Well, in the command window, you saw the prompt, two bigger signs, and then you could do any calculation. And you can do much more than I did just now. And then you always get a reply back, answer is, and then some value. And you can assign values and work with that. Note that MATLAB is sensitive for capitalization. So small x is 3, capital X could be 7. Yeah, I can assign those. Those are two completely different variables. If we talk about variables, a variable begins with a letter. So not 3x or something like that. No, it begins with a letter. Ooh, this is not that interesting, so I'll skip it, but you all know pi, right? The Greek letter pi has to do with the circumvention of a circle, and it says it's 3.1416. Well, that's not correct, right? 1416. Yeah, pi is 3.1415, something like that. But I just see 4 letters behind the decimal dot. If I want to see more, I can use format long. So just type in format long, and then type pi again, pi, enter, and then see, and then you will get something like this. 3.14159265358973. That's closer already. Yeah? So format long will give you more decimal digits. You don't always need them. It's all often a lot of noise that you're not interested in anyway. Going back, it's format short again, so you can switch between them. Often a good estimate for pi is 22 divided by 7. So I could say pi equals 22 divided by 7, right? What does it say now? 1.3.1416. 1429. That's correct. Not exactly, but at least the first few digits are correct. Yeah. So if I ask now what pi is, what do I get? Yeah. Why? I just assigned. Yeah. But the old pi is now gone. So this one, the one that I saw here, that's gone. I don't have that anymore. Okay, I made a mistake, right? I wanted to have capital Pi equal 22. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah, to make a difference. So maybe see the difference between the actual pi and this particular estimate. How do I get my old pi back? Here. Yeah? So there was a variable that I defined, pi, small one. And I gave it a value, and now I want to remove it. And when I remove that particular value, it falls back to the default value that it has. So clear small pi, then there is the old one again. And you see that my 22 over 7, that is slightly too much. But how many percent is that too much? Well, I can calculate it. So I divide. Seven. Yeah, sorry. It's difficult to type here and see the screen there. Pi divided by pi. So my estimate divided by the real pi is 1.0004. So it's 0.04% too much. So it's quite a good estimate. Simple, good estimate. There is a number of, I'm not sure if there's more variables in there, but pi is one of the variables that is inside MATLAB. Variable names, as I said, must start with the letter. Can further consist of letters, numbers, capitals, and underscore. So no exclamation point, question mark, or anything. No, nothing very special, but you can use as a special character an underscore. I advise you anyway, if you create names for variables, not use X, Y, I, J, just those. Use sensible names. If you have a loop, okay, use N or I or whatever. But if you have something that where you want to store information, you might have a sensible name. Pi is 4 is a valid statement. We just saw that. We did it in a different way. And we could then go back to the old situation with clear pi. Yeah. Clear all, we discussed that. CLC, CLSD. So now I have a lot of mess there. I don't want that anymore. That's gone. CLC. There are a number of comments in MATLAB that you're not aware of. For example, the factor, I don't factor numbers a lot using MATLAB, so I had to think a bit about it. But if I wanted to do something like that, there is a very good help function inside MATLAB. Get this up a bit. You can either use help. I don't think this was correct. I was trying something like that, and I think it works for this particular command, but not in general. But generally speaking, type help, and then the command that you want information about. For example, if you type help factor, you should get information about that command factor, that function, that built-in function. So help factor. Thinking a bit, and it gives me information. So factor into prime factors, and there's no example here, but apparently the way that I use it is factor and then a number between brackets, and then it will return the factorization of that number. Now it's inside the command window, right? So if I start testing out how factor will work, at some point that information is lost. I can also use doc factor. And it will open a different window for this help function. Yeah, here you see also an example, factor 200, and it will tell me that 200 is equal to 2 times 2 times 2 times 5 times 5. So it will give me all the factors, and it will give me factors that are inside that particular number n multiple times, and we'll give it multiple times. So that's how the help in inside MATLAB works. Generally, what I do, because I don't know a command right away, I just go to Google. And in Google, I type MATLAB help, and then something that I want to know. MATLAB help factorization of primes. Because I wasn't sure if that command that I needed to use was factor or factorize or whatever. Yeah. Very often, inside Google, you would get the help right away on the first link that it provides. There was a question. Not that I know of. Maybe in the Linux version or something like that, but I don't know. I don't know. Almost anything can be found in Google if you Google in this way. MATLAB help, and then the command or the description of what you are looking for. Yeah. Suppose that you want to plot some kind of function. Yeah. So we are interested in plotting. So what is the exact name of that? So you could try doc plotting. So try that and see what happens. Or help plotting, whatever you want. So when I try help plotting, it says command not plotting not found. So apparently there is no function plotting. Maybe doc. When I do doc plotting, it will not go to a particular page on that command, but it will just search inside MATLAB for plotting, and it will show me a lot of things. And here I see, for example, plot as a function. Here, plot. A 2D line plot. Okay, that's the one that I wanted. So then I can search more for plot instead of plotting. So there's a lot of help available for MATLAB, either in MATLAB, in Google, or in class. If you're not sure about the exact way that a function is called, you can use a tab function. You type it half, and then you type tab, and then you see a list of possible commands that will still fit. I think that's available in various other programming languages also, so I will not go into that. But also when I'm using, for example, the modulo command, I want to do modulo calculation. That's mod in MATLAB. So I type mod and an open bracket, and then you wait. Just try that. Type mod. Open bracket and then wait and see what happens. Don't.
Can we use
it
as a percentage character?
Why do you want to use those? Because if you suppose that we want to know something about. Let's try factor again. So I try fact, maybe it's fact instead of factor, and I try tab, and it will give me everything that fits, starting with fact. Yeah, okay, so you want, if you don't know the beginning of the word. Yeah, I know, not that I know of. I haven't used it, I haven't had a need to use that so far. If I wasn't sure, I just went to Google. MATLAB help and then something. Yeah, so, escape and it goes away. If I wanted to use, I can now just select whatever I want to use. This one, okay, there we go. Mod, and then I didn't do anything, and there comes automatically help of what is happening. So it tells me exactly what I have to do here. Well, not exactly, because I have to interpret itself. If I want more help than it, I can press more help here. But I have to apparently give a number, 17, and then I have to give another letter M. So I type 17 comma, and then it switches to a black A again and a blue M, indicating that this is now the modulo that I have to type. So if we calculate 17 modulo 3, that's 2. Yeah? In front of the prompt, there is a small f of x. You can also press that. And you get a list of potential topics that you can search on. You just browse through that yourself. But then, much more interesting than help is really getting things done. MATLAB is a mathematical programming language, and so you should be easy to do mathematics there. Mostly in you work with numbers, obviously. Often you don't want just single numbers, you want a matrix with numbers or a vector with numbers. A vector is actually a special kind of matrix, it's just one dimensional. And a number is a special kind of matrix also, because it just has dimensions 1 times 1. Yeah, so I can define row vectors or column vectors in this particular way. If I type, just try it, A is 1, 2, 3 with square brackets around it. And I press enter, you'll see that it is a 1 times 3 row vector. If I would have used semicolons instead of comma, then I would do the following. A is 1 semicolon, 2 semicolon, 3. And it displays it as a row. As a column vector. So row vector first and a column vector second. Yeah. So if I'm defining a vector like that, then the comma will just move me to the next index, and the semicolon will move me downwards. I can combine the two. A is one comma two semicolon 3, 4, and I get a 2x2 matrix. So the first comma said continue on the same row, and then semicolon says go to the next row, continue on the. If I would do something like this, if I now press the arrow up, the previous command will appear again, and I can edit that. Yeah, so if I would make the 4 into a 5, I have a different matrix. Yeah, suppose semicolon again, so I'm starting a new row, and I put the 5 there, nothing more. Oh, then it will give me an error. Because I had two elements, it's difficult to read, I guess. I had two elements on the first row, two elements on the second row, and then one element on the third row. That doesn't constitute a mathematical matrix. Yeah. Matrix don't need to be square. Here I have a 3x2 matrix. 3 rows, 2 columns. So we that's the one that we have there. And the error, we discussed that too. Now I want to look at parts of this. Let's make it a slightly larger CLC. I'll do the following. A is, I'll explain it in a second. I typed A equals rand I 10, 4, 5. So I'm creating a random 4 times 5 matrix, 4 rows, 5 columns, and integers inside the matrix, and all values between 1 and 10. So you see a number of times 10 appearing, you see 1 appearing, so any number is a random value between 1 and 10. If I would repeat the command, I would get a different matrix. Yeah. I now have, let's look at this one. I have a 4 times 5 matrix, and every, let's, yeah.
Is this actually random because I get the exact
There is an initialization of the random matrix. Yeah, I know. If you actually to be testing, you can set that initialization. There's a command RNG, and then you put a value there, and that value initializes the random matrix. I wouldn't expect our matrices to be the same because I don't know what it actually is based upon, but probably also on what is done here. What if I wanted a part of this matrix? Suppose that the rows stand for users and the column stands for characteristics of that user. So how would I get the information of the second user? In other words, how do I get just the second row? And I'll type this A and then between brackets 2, comma, semicolon. I get this. The semicolon means that I use any values in the range as far as it gets. So from 1 to 5 in this case. Yeah, and it copies the second row, 1, 8, 2, 1, 4. If I want to know the third characteristics of all the users, I need the third column in this particular case, A. For all users, the third row. Obviously, I get a row vector as a result. Maybe I want the third and the fourth characteristics. Then I can change it to 3, semicolon, 4. Oh, not sure what I did there. That's the one I want. Yeah? If I just have semicolon, then it means use everything in the range. Otherwise, I can give a range that could be either a single number or a from 2, from 3 to 4, or from 3 to 5, I could do also. And then I get 3 of those. Yes?
Is MATLAB always counting from 1?
1, yes. Okay, from it's mathematics, it's not computer science. Yeah, computer science starts counting from 0. MATLAB starts counting from 1. Big difference. It's a good question. If I want column 1 and column 4 only, I should be able to do that too. So then I want from all the users, I want just column 1 and column 4. How do I indicate that I just want column 1 and column 4? Well, I give, in this case, a vector to it. Well, how do I give a vector? Well, we just saw how we created vectors. We had these square brackets around it. So we put square brackets around it, and then the numbers 1 and 4, and just those columns. Obviously, you can't check it anymore. Here is A again. Let me see, is this the first column? 7, 1, 9, 10, that's correct. And the fourth column, 3, 1, 1, 9. Yeah, so I can give a particular range as a vector. I want the first and the fourth feature of just user 2 and user 4. Okay. As first a range, a vector 2 and 4. And then I want the first and the fourth feature of those. Yeah, so you can use vectors inside a matrix index just to select a subset of what I want. You saw this notation already. One semicolon, You saw actually 3, semicolon 5. That's the values 3, 4, and 5. If I have A is 1, semicolon 10, see what that does. Just try it out. What's the result? Yeah? No, not exactly. That's not the best description that you can give. You get a vector. Yeah, you get a vector of length 10 with the values 1 to 10 in it. Yeah. Did you get a column vector or a row vector? A row vector, okay, yeah. But I'm actually interested in a column vector. Well, then the you assigned A to it. Try typing A with the prime added to it, and then enter. See what happens. Sure what I did now. A is 1. There it is, yeah. A prime, we'll turn it around. Okay, so I can go from a column vector to a row vector by just putting the prime. So prime stands for transpose. If I have a matrix, let's get the old matrix back. Now this is the old matrix. If I transpose that matrix, it will go over to this one. Yeah? So columns will turn into rows. Rows will turn into columns. But now I had to do two steps to get this column vector. I first had to define A being a row vector, and then I had to transpose it. I want to do that at once, so I can maybe type B equals 1 to 10. Yeah, that was my row vector, so let's transpose it. Oh, let's transpose that. No, still the same. What happened here? Why is it not a column vector? Sorry? Yeah? No, but if I would leave it out, let's see what happens. CLC, so we get the screen. B equals 1 to 10. I get this one, and now B equals 1 to 10 transposed. I'll get the same. So why doesn't it transpose what I wanted to do? Yeah, okay, but why doesn't it still, that's correct. To get the row vector, we have to do that. Or the column vector, sorry. But why doesn't it work here?
Because of the priority. So transpose only acts on the 10 and not on
exactly. It transposes 10. So I have a 1 times 1 matrix with a single number in the 10, and it transposes that matrix. That's 10 again. Yeah, so and then, so at first, indeed, it's priority. It prioritizes this prime over this. And so it's the same. So indeed, as you just said, if I put brackets around it, B equals 1 to 10. Yeah, brackets take priority always. So now I just defined the row vector, and then I transpose that one, and I get this. I typed something wrong there, probably. 19, yeah, sorry. It's difficult to see if the keyboard and the screen are so far apart. Yeah, so if you want that, then either you have to do it in two steps, define it as a row vector first and then transpose it, or do it in this way. Okay, without trying before first, what do you think this will result in? A is 1 semicolon 5, comma 11 semicolon 15. In terms of vector, or let's say matrix, in terms of matrix, what does this result in? What size? Yeah, so a 1 times 10. Yeah. How about this one, if I put a semicolon here? Yeah, off size? Yeah, two times five. Yeah, always the number of rows first and then the number of columns. A 2 times 5 matrix. Just try it out, see what happens. Was she correct? Kudos. How about if I, now this was 5 values and this was 5 values. So what if I take 1 up to 5 and then comma 21 up to 30? Does that work? What will it result in? Yeah, 1 times 15. How about this one? Now put a semicolon. Yeah, it won't work because the first row has 5 elements, the second one 10 elements. MATLAB doesn't automatically fill in then the 5 positions in this other row. Not in this manner. So we now know what the semicolon means. 1 semicolon 7 means all the numbers from 1 to 7 as a row vector. What if I try something like this? 1 semicolon, 2 semicolon, 7. The 2 actually is a step function. It says go from 1 to 7 in steps of 2. If I just have 2 numbers, it means actually the same as 1 semicolon, 7. Go in steps of 1. So you can try this also, but maybe with 1 semicolon, 0.1 semicolon, 7. Then you see that it makes steps of 0.1 and you get a longer one. Here, we go from 1 to 7 in steps of 2, so 1, 3, 5, 7. What if the last number was 8? Where will it stop then? At 7, yeah? So it will never go over 7. In this case, it will never go over 8, so it will be 1, 3, yeah, 3 is still less than 8. Yeah, 5, still less than 8. 7, still less than 8. 9, oh no, that's too much. Here, 1, semicolon, 0.1, semicolon 2. How long is this vector? 1 times? No? Who said 11? Perfect. Yeah, I make steps of 0.1, so I make 10 steps, but I have also a first number, 11. See what the result is here. I have a matrix. I have, this is 5 columns and apparently 4 rows. So define that and then look what all these commands are doing. Yeah, the first one and the second one might not be that surprising. We talked about that. So I'm looking at the first 3 rows and then just columns 2 and 3. Yeah, so a 3 times 2 matrix. This is looking at the first column, sorry, first row, and then all the columns. Here we're looking at the second and the third row, and then column 4 until the end. Actually, I don't need to know how big this matrix is if I need something from at some point until the end. I don't need to know that this actually is the number 5. Yeah. No, let's see what happens. Yeah. And I forgot what it was, but I'll take a random number matrix again. This was the matrix, right? And then you asking for 3, 5. Is that what you were? Yeah. So that means look at row 3, 1, 2, 3, column 5. That's here at the end. That should be a 6, okay, right? Yeah, so this is looking at what that value is. I can do something else. I can say this is equal to 7. I can set the value in the matrix also. Yeah, so now I have the matrix A, and I'm saying this third row, fifth column, that value should be 7. If I do that, feedback will be the full matrix A again, but you'll see that that particular value has changed into a 7. So you can use it just to query what a particular value is, or you can set a value. What would this be? Yeah. So in principle, the equal sign is checking if two values are the same. In this case, A35 is 7, and I'm checking if that is equal to 6, and so it will give me a logical 0, so false. If I would have done 7, it would have given me logical 1, so true. So I can actually check if particular values occur at particular places where I want them to be. But notice the main point here was also that this end tells me something, that end is just a statement that will look at how big a matrix is and will just use everything up till the end. So I don't need to give it the number 5. If the size of the matrix is unknown to me, I can just use this. Later on we'll see very interesting ways of using this. Okay, now we have two vectors. To 1 times 3 matrices also. I can actually use simple mathematical rules to work on them. I have 1, 2, 3, and I have 4, 5, 6, and I can just add them. If I add them, it just takes the first element of both, and it adds it. The second element of both, and it adds it. Third element, both. How do you do this in Java or in PHP or in whatever you use, Python? Or for I is 1, 2, 3, CI is AI plus BI, right? I don't need to do this. And in this case, it wouldn't matter that much. But if I have a huge matrix, it matters a lot. If I want to multiply matrices, it matters a lot. Instead of a double loop, you can just say times, A times B. Let's do matrix multiplication. Can we multiply this vector by this vector? Now we're into mathematics. I use mathematics notation here. So I have one vector here, and I want to multiply it by by this one. Well, mathematically, this cannot be done. Yeah, if I multiply a general matrix, size n times m, then I must multiply that by a matrix which has dimensions m times k. Yeah, the inner dimensions should fit. Well, this is 1 times 3, and this is also 1 times 3. So the 1 here and the 3 here don't fit. But what if I take the transpose of this? Then it should be possible. So you can try that. A times, just a normal star, B prime. And you get 32, right? Yeah, because if I would do that, it would be, let's write it down, 1, 2, 3 times 4, 5, 6. And we know matrix multiplication. This is a 1 times 1 matrix will be, and the entry will be this times this, plus this times this, plus this times this. Right? And that is 32. I could have done this also. I transpose this one. 3 times 1, it then becomes times a 1 times 3 matrix, and it will result in a 3 times 3 matrix. And that was, you can calculate it. I didn't put it there. And you'll see that it is 3 times 3. But actually, this was all not what I wanted. When I did addition, I could just say this plus this, and this plus this, and this plus this. And what I actually wanted was a 1 times 3 matrix to get out that said this times this, second element this times this, third element this times this. That's what I wanted. This was what I wanted. Well, you can do that by using not star, but dot star. Dot star means component-wise multiplication. We actually can do scalar multiplication also. We can just multiply A by any number. And 3 times A is probably the same as A times 3. I haven't checked that, but we can check that. A times 3, it's the same, yeah. Let's take two random matrices. I first use RNG0. RNG0 sets the seed for the random generator. And so if you do that, you will certainly get the same matrix as I have. And then I say x equals ont e 10, 5, 4. That's what I wanted. There it is. 5 rows and 4 columns, and I'll have y also the same, and I 10, 5, 4. I can do x plus y, no problem, because they have the same dimensions. I can add them. We still have a? Yeah. Let's see what x plus a does. Think that works? Oh, dimensions don't fit at all. Yeah, so dimensions should fit. X times y doesn't work because of what we just wrote on the blackboard. X dot star y, well, that should work because the dimensions are exactly the same, so it is a component-wise multiplication. And not just vectors, but also matrices. I can just say 2 times x. Yeah, this was x. 2 times x is twice that. I can do even more. I can say what is 2 times x that we had already, 2 times x minus 1. Let's see what happens then. Okay, 1 is subtracted everywhere. So there are some exceptions about the dimensions that should fit. If I multiply by a scalar or subtract a scalar, it just does it for the full matrix. It does that component wise already automatically. Yeah, but if the two operators are matrices, then the values should fit. I can actually do something like 2 times x minus 1. So I first subtract 1 and then multiply by 2, and you get this one. Yeah? Very easy. I don't need to care about... I can... x times y prime. If you want to write a routine in any language to do this calculation... Yeah, 5 times 4 times or 4 times 5 matrix. Yeah, that's a double loop. In MATLAB, I don't care about that. MATLAB is specially built for these kinds of operations. It's a mathematical programming language, so all of that is in there already. Yeah? Strings. Also very interesting. Let's do this directly. You'll see. Okay, S is equals, and then if I want a string, I put single quotes around it. This is a test. And it will give me feedback that S is some kind of text, and it says it's a string because it puts quotes around it. So now I have a string. How long is this string? Yeah, you can count. Okay, we don't want to count. Yeah, what commands should we use to find the length of this string?
Length.
Just as yeah, maybe it was len or something like that. Could have been. I don't know. I just Google MATLAB help length of a string and I'll find it automatically. So length of s. 14. Perfect. So I didn't need to count. What's the third letter of S? It's an I, right? I mean, I can see that. But I can also check what the third letter is. S is a string, but it is also considered as an array or a vector of characters. And so I can just address that. The third one is I. What would that be? Oh, let's. Yeah? I just look at what the 11th letter is. I know that in this case it's a T. And then I don't care what more comes after that. I just can say until the end. I don't care that it is 14 characters. I can do that automatically. Yeah? If you want double quote. Is no, I'm not sure. I can. T is test. Let me see the difference. S is a yeah. Yeah. It's a different kind of structure. If you look closely here, yeah, this is a vector of character. If you look at this symbol here, see, and this is a string. So apparently, a string in this particular sense is considered different from a vector of characters. Yeah. I can already tell you for your first assignment, you need to have to work with strings. Please use the single quote, because then you can operate much easier on it. Let me see what this does. T of 2. Yeah, so it doesn't handle that.
It's only one
element in the array. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So S was let's forget about T. Up, T is gone. Clear T. Let's focus on S. So S had 14 letters, and the last four was test. What would happen now if I do this? Okay, correct. Back to the original one. Now we're going to do a nice trick. Sometimes MATLAB makes it easy on ourselves. What happens now? Oh. Exactly. So, I have capitals. That should not. That probably doesn't work. Caps lock on S, and plus one is. Yeah, apparently I can address an element which is behind the end of that string, and I can put a value to that. If I would do it again, and again, it has adjusted the new length, and so knows where the new end of that string is. I keep calling it string. I know it's technically not correct, but you know what I mean. Yeah, it has determined that, okay, now I have a string of length 15, so n plus 1 is 16, and puts again an exclamation point at the end. We had before this command, S. I can go up in there. I can actually not see what I... Yeah. Before, what was the value that we got here? S from 11 to the end. Is it still there? Yeah, here. Test. What will happen now? Yeah, exactly. Now a more difficult one. Not sure if it's readable. But I have S.
Exclamation.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'll do is I'll pick one character, the 16th character, and then I'll take the other 15. So I can index this vector as I want, and it will give me these values. Actually, I could have done this differently, because now I had to know that it was length 16, right? So what if I do S of... Not sure if this works. Let's see if this works. Ah, works too. Yeah? So actually, I have no idea how long this string is. But what I did was take the last character and put that in front. And if I would assign S to this new... S equals... Yeah, then this is the new value of S. If I would do it again, the second exclamation point. And so I can keep doing that all the way until I'm back at the original. Yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so I can play, because the strings in this way that we use it is a vector or an array of characters and not an object by itself. I can play around with that. So playing around with strings in this way is something you will do in the first assignment. So you learn, you get some inside knowledge already. Well, it's recorded and streamed, so everybody gets inside knowledge. Let's go back to the how to simply add an exclamation point at the end. Just put it at the position end plus one. Yeah? If statement. Not going very deep into this. Everybody knows the if statement. If a particular condition holds, then I do some kind of assignment. Else, I do some other kind of assignment. Else is often not needed. I can just have if something holds, then do this. If I want to test more different conditions, if x is less than 0, do this. Else if I can use, I think other programming languages have that also. If x is equal to 0, I do something else. Yeah, so I can build it up. As I don't speak many other programming languages, is this common for other programming languages too?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry? Okay, okay. I know BASIC from the 1980s, so that's probably different from Visual Basic. So we'll quickly go to the next one. Switch statement, I guess also in many programming languages present, but just look at the way that the grammatics for this particular language is. Switch a variable n, and then look at various cases that it could take, various values that it could take. If I want to do something with multiple values, I put them between accolades, and then the default is otherwise with something. No break needed. So if n is indeed equal to 1, it will go here, go into there, and then will break automatically. So no break is needed. For statement, again, the way of writing it might be slightly different, but same as always.
When we had the two values in the brackets,
yeah,
you said when it's going to find its first match, it's going to exit.
Yeah. If I would have a statement later on, case 3, I don't know. I actually don't know. But you can always test. Easily tested. I don't think it would do both. I think it breaks. But you can test it. Anyway, that's bad programming. You understand that? Loops, for loops, same as always. I run a variable from over 10 values and I multiply. In this case, I'm doing factorial. This notation, we had that before, means all the values between 1 and 10. I could use a subset. I could say, for example, I have four users in this case, user 1, 2, 7, and 10 as a row vector. And then I write for user is all users. Then it runs over this set of values. Again, easier probably than in most programming language, where you could maybe also define something like this, but then you could say for I is 1 to 4, and then use the value all user I, index I. While statement, exactly the same as you all know it. What is this? Yeah, break. Yeah, break is a command in MATLAB as you asked, but you can use to break out of a loop. Yeah, so in this case, what I'm doing here, rand is a random value. If I don't give anything between brackets, it will just take a random value between 0 and 1. It's not rand I because that's an integer, it's just a random number. And I check if that random number is above, in this case, 0.8. With a probability of 1 in 5 it is, then it will just jump out of the loop. If not, it will increase some value s. Not very useful, but at least it shows what break statement does. Now we come to something which is very much more specific to MATLAB, and which will show the actual value of MATLAB. So we have a vector here, v. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 values. -2, -1, -2, -5, -3, etc., etc. These could be measurements for whatever, maybe temperatures in December, right? And then I just want the temperatures that were, what does it say, non-negative, that were not below zero. So all the non-negative numbers from this. Let's start doing this. Write your own program that, from a random vector, you can use this as a test vector, extracts the non-negative numbers. That will be vector again, and you probably need something like this. You need to probably start with an empty vector, right? And then once you see a non-negative number, you'll add it to that vector. If you want that, use something like W is, and then two square brackets with nothing in between, or a space in between. That means an empty, a 0 times 0 matrix. And if you want to add a number into this matrix, suppose you want to add the number 3 into this matrix, I'll make a new matrix which contains the old one and the number 3. First, it looks like a number, but a number is just a 1 times 1 matrix. And every time that I would, if I would run this twice, then W would be the vector of two elements, 3 and 3. And probably, no, wait. If, yeah, because you started if. If always yeah. Ends with end.
So this yeah? Get out of
okay, let me see if we.
Because I want to take all zeros and positives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a greater equal, but to add the value because I didn't understand.
This is the answer. Actually, the answer. I create a vector that will contain all the non-negatives. So W in the end will be the vector 2, 5, 0, 4, 12, 17, 4. So I want that to be the vector that I want to create. And this just creates an empty vector. Nothing is in there. Yeah. And you can fill it by then afterwards applying this statement. So whenever you, this is probably then an element of the vector V, some kind of element that you add. Yeah, the ith element of V is added to this vector. You can do it, but you can do it. Yeah, I didn't say that. Let me show the solution, and I'll go over that. That might be the easiest. So what I did is, I actually didn't use that that last line yet. I initialize an empty vector, and then I go over all the elements of V, and I don't know how many there are, so I have I is 1 to length of V. Yeah, if you had I is 1 to 10, specifically for this one, okay? And then I check if that value, that particular value, should be included in the new vector. And if so, yeah, then I have zero elements at the moment, so I then have found an element, so I increase this, and I say this jth element of this vector that I want will be actually this particular value that I was considering. So in case, let's do this live. So I is 1 in the beginning, and I check if V of 1 is more than, or at least 0. No, it's not. Okay, so I'll skip it. I don't go into the into this statement. Okay, I'll go back. I is equal to 2. Yeah, is V of 2, is that more than 0? Yes, it is. Okay, so then I increase J to 1, and I say the first element of my new vector is actually the second element of V. And then I continue. So this works. One second. I gave you that hint already, so you could change it also to not having that index and just doing it in this way. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Add a semicolon. Probably you forgot a semicolon here. Yeah. So the previous one and this one are the same. Yeah, except that here I did it with indexing, and here I don't care about the indexing. I let MATLAB do it. This is not the smartest way. MATLAB can do it in a much smarter way. Sorry, there is if. Yeah, if the value I'm considering at the moment is at least 0, then I do something. In principle, I add it to the resulting vector. Yeah, I will get to that. Not in exactly that way, but I will get to that. So this is when I remove the lines that I cross through. So this is already slightly improvement of using the instead of using the index J, right? At least I've got rid of that. This is more or less what you're asking for. This is called logical indexing, and that is something that you will not see in most of the other programming languages. I can. This is actually all that I need to have. That's all. Instead of the, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines of code, I can do it in one simple command. So let's go over what is here. I could add and I could subtract and I could multiply with vectors. I told you that, right? Here, what I do is I look at the vector V and I compare it to 0. But 0 is a number and V is a vector. Well, in that case, like I could also say 3 times V, or V minus 2, I can now have a comparison. And that comparison will actually be a binary vector of zeros and ones, truth and false, whatever you want to call it. And it compares each and every element with this value. So minus 1, is that more or equal to 0? No, false. 2, is that more or equal to 0? Yes. 5, more or equal to 0? Yes, also. Minus 3, is that more or equal to 0? No, that's not. Yeah, so I get this statement. I don't need the brackets here, by the way, but V is at least 0. That statement, because V is a 1 times 10 vector, and 0 is a number, that will result in a 1 times 10 logical vector. Logical vector. That's not all. So here we now have, between brackets, a logical vector of size 10. Same size as V, obviously. Yeah. Actually, that will indicate which of the columns, of which of the elements of V should be taken, true, or should be ignored, false.
Yeah,
Try the same, for example, this command, v of v is equal is at least 0. Try, for example, v of v equal 4. What do you get then? No? No? V of v equal 4. No? No? No, I'm pretty sure if you have that vector of v, then this will be the result. Is that correct or not? Am I wrong? Yeah? So what did we do? We checked where v is equal to 4. So I'm creating a logical vector, same size as v, that indicates everywhere where v is equal to 4. False, 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 true, false, 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 true. And then I'm going to take the elements of V where this indicates true. Well, it indicated true there and there. Obviously, because there are fours there, right? And so it just takes those two elements, 4 and 4. If I would have written 2 here, it would be just the number 2 because that appears once, right? If I would have written 3, it would be an empty vector because it doesn't appear.
Like when we were comparing 4, we used just letter V. But for example, if we have to compare the first 5 of the array, so then we can use 1 colon and then 5, for example.
Yeah. So if I try that. If you yeah. So this is what we had, is at least 0, right? That's what I wrote there. But what if I have here index 1 to 5? Actually not sure. Just try what this will result in. Sorry? Sorry. See if I can write it in the small crayon. V of V 1 up to 5. Yeah, so I'll just look at the first 5 elements of V, and that should be, I look which of them are more than 0. So what is this, an error maybe? I don't know. It will give me 250. Yeah. Sorry, my mistake. So it does give an error. Does this give me 250? Okay. Learn something every day. Yeah, so I don't need to consider the full matrix. I can just look at the subset. But the idea is still the same. I create a logical vector, and then I use that to create a subset. You can use the command find. If you do this, find, let's say V is less than 0. What does that result in? Find, and then between brackets, V is less than 0. Are you sure? I didn't put a V around it, just find. Just try it. See what it does. I am saying it will tell you 1, 4, 9. Yeah? Why? Find will give me indexes. Yeah? So actually, I could do, if I do this, V of find V is at least 0, I'll get the same as I did there. Yeah, except that it creates a logical vector. It finds the indexes where the logical vector is true, and then it selects from V on these indices. But you can take a shortcut and ignore the find in this particular case. Yeah. Very handy in MATLAB. Much more efficient than any other programming language. But this is something new. This is, anybody seen this before outside MATLAB? You have seen MATLAB. Python also. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Cool. Didn't know that. Yeah, but this is very efficient, more than, let's say, the other, the C sharp, Java, whatever. Yeah, this is defined. We had that already. Yeah. Something about pre-allocation. Yeah, variables need room in memory. And so, yeah, that room can be reserved. So, first, tick and talk. Tick and talk are very easy. Tick and talk tell me something about every time that I use talk, it will give me the time until the last tick. So, tick is a starter, and talk, I can use multiple times, but talk will tell me what time has elapsed. So, if I have this, I start, and I sum up the first million numbers, and then I stop the time. Does it pretty quickly. 0.004721 seconds. Yeah? This is not pre-allocation yet. This is just tick and talk. So it gives me the answer and it gives me the answer because I didn't put semicolon behind that one. Then, because that was so fast, let's do some more multiplications. So I multiply the numbers I with J every time, and I will run from 1 to 5,000, and J will run from 1 to 5,000. So for every I have 5,000 multiplications, and I have 5,000 values of I. So I'm doing 25 million multiplications. And that does in almost 0.13 seconds. Still pretty fast. But now I did all the multiplications. I didn't put it to the screen. If you output it to the screen, obviously it takes longer because the screen is slow. So that's why I didn't. I did all the multiplications, but I didn't see any results. Would be interesting to see results too. So what we do is we put the results in a matrix. So we have we'll create in the end a 5,000 times 5,000 matrix capital A. And the ith j's element is I times j. And all of a sudden, it takes almost a minute. You can try that yourself. Try the first one where you actually ignore the results. You just put it in some variable x that you don't use anymore. And try this one. So what happens here is that in the second case, the matrix A is created more or less on the fly. So first I and J are equal to 1, so it creates a 1 times 1 matrix A. The next time J is 1 more, and so I want to assign A 1,2. Okay, then I need a 1 times 2 matrix. Okay, I have a 1 times 1 matrix, I have to ignore that one. I have to create a new one, which is a copy of the old one, plus one new element. And then again, and again, and again. And then at some point when I've done that 5,000 times, I actually go over to the next ion. So I have to add a row. And when I add a row, that's cool. Then it adds a complete row filled with zeros at once in this particular case. And then it fills all those elements. But it has, again, when it creates that new row, it has to take the old result and make a copy with the new row added to it and a particular value, etc. And then it has to do that again 5,000 times. Well, that takes time. Just copying this variable all of the time and adding new elements to it, that takes a lot of time. So what we do is create that matrix first. Here. So I create the matrix, I reserve the space for that matrix already, and I put there is a matrix filled with zeros. So this command, zeros, nn, for n is 5,000, will create an n times n matrix. You can do this with any number, n times m if you want, or, yeah. But then, every time that I write an element, it is inside the structure that I have already. So it can just change a value in that structure, in that memory somewhere. It doesn't need to be actually outside the space that it reserved for that variable. And so then it had to copy the full thing, which with in a slightly larger structure where it just added one thing. Yeah, here we have everything and we can ignore all the copying. And so all of a sudden, instead of 55 seconds, we're down to less than half a second. But still slower than when I didn't put it in the matrix. We can actually make it one step slower in a different, one step faster in a different way. I multiply a 1 times 5,000 matrix with a 5,000 times, a 5,000 times 1 matrix with a 1 times 5,000 matrix, which results in a 5,000 times 5,000 matrix. I can do it at once, just one command, which is faster than even the original one. Here I don't need to pre-allocate, of course. Here I don't need to initialize A with all zeros first, because if I do that command, A is zeros n comma n, then that command will reserve that space for me. Here, this multiplication will reserve that space for me, but it doesn't need to copy it all of the time. There is another command. So zeros we saw just, the command once. Once n comma n. Creates an n times n matrix with all ones in it. So instead of every element equal to zero, this one is equal to one. Two times that will create a matrix with all values 2 in it. Yeah, I can play with that. Something about data types that MATLAB uses. Generally, what you'll use is if you don't declare anything, it will just be double. Will be 64 bit. At least I have a 64 bit version of MATLAB. Two out of range values, infinite and minus, or minus infinite, that's actually just one, and not a number. Yeah, those exist also. You can just calculate with infinite and minus infinite. You can have infinite inside a matrix. Doesn't really matter. If you do 3 times infinite, it will still be infinite. If you have minus 5 times infinite, it will be minus infinite. But you can't do infinite divided by infinite, then things go wrong. Yeah, that. If you cast to a specific data type, and there are 8 integer types, int 16 and up to unsigned int 8, sorry, 16, 32, and 64, so signed or unsigned versions of those. If you typecast a number that actually doesn't fit within the range, it just maps it to the largest one. Or if you're on the other side, it maps it to the smallest one. Yeah? So be careful with typecasting integers. Always rounds to the nearest integer within the range. Data strings, we talked about that. Single quotes means that it is an array of characters. This is a text. And 6 to 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I, S, 7, 8, 9, I is A. Yeah. We did this before. Yeah, comparing strings. That's interesting. We can compare numbers with the equal sign or equal more than equal or something like that. So what kind of comparisons can we do? If we have numbers, we can check if two numbers are the same, equal. We can check if one is bigger or bigger and equal than the other. How about not equal? In many languages, it's exclamation point equal. Here it is wiggle equal. Yeah? Same idea, except that you need to know the exact dialect that that MATLAB speaks. But how about strings? Factors of characters. So how do we compare that? We have a string S, which has string, and a string T, which has string 2. Just try it in MATLAB again and see what S equal T does. So I want to know if these two strings are the same. What does it do? String T. I think I forgot it again. T is. No, what is it? Yeah. We have S, string, and T, string 2. Let's see, S, is it equal to T? Oh, okay, apparently MATLAB doesn't like that. Matrix dimensions must agree. Okay, a string is a vector of characters. Yeah, and string S is apparently 6 characters, and T is 7 characters. So if we want to compare vectors, they have to be of the same size. Okay, let's say string U equals string 3. Also 7 characters. So now I can see if these two are the same, T and U. That's odd. This was not what I was expecting. So I'm comparing string 2 to string 3. And then I get... So what actually MATLAB is doing is saying, okay, I have a vector of length 7 and a vector of length 7. There are characters in these two vectors, and I compare character by character. S and S, yeah, that's the same. T and T is the same, etc., etc. 2 and 3, oh, that's different. That was not actually what I was aiming for. The one that I was looking for is actually, well, Google MATLAB help comparing strings. And what you'll find there is this command, string compare, and I can compare S and T. Even S and T are different length, so no, they're not the same. A logical zero in this case. If I compare S to S, obviously I get a logical one. This was the one that I was actually looking for. Is one string the same as another? Yeah, I get one string from one source and another string from another source, and I check them. For example, if you have a password system, I have one hashed password stored, I get a hashed password over the net, and I'll check if they are the same. I can use string compare. Yeah, otherwise, if I'm using is, I'm just comparing character by character. Yes?
Is it like sort of like a true-false statement that gives you ones and zeros, so one is true and...
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is comparing, so I have...
Does one stand for
true? One is true, a logical one is true, and a logical zero is false. Yeah. So the first six characters of string 2 and string 3 are the same. That's what it's telling me, except that the last one is different. Let's have another string. This is a string. Now I'm actually interested in not so much comparing this to another string, but I'm interested in knowing if there is a particular substring in this one. So what I do is string find, and in this string I'm looking for the following substring Q. Obviously not in there, right? And it gives me an empty answer. So there's none. But if I would search for if I would search for str, it will give me 11. What does 11 mean? This is a string. If I go count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. At position 11, actually str can be found. So it tells me exactly, either it tells me empty, so I don't, it's not in there, or it gives me a position of where to find it. What then if I say I want to find is in this string? I actually get two answers, 3 and 6. So string find of, in the string str find the substring is. It says 3 and 6, and if we go there, 1, 2, 3, oh yeah, this, and 4, 5, 6, there is also this. So actually it gives me all occurrences of where a particular substring can be found. Let's remove that. Let's have a new string. S is, well, we haven't used capital string. And T is string without a capital. Are these the same? Obviously, they're not the same, right? String with a capital S and string with a normal S are not the same. Let's see what string compare says. Logical zero, false. Let's try it again. Compare S and T. I'll get a logical one. Well, what I did is not use the command string compare, but string compare I. And I stands for ignore case. Yeah. So it ignores, it takes everything upper or lower case, whatever it does, I don't know. Yeah? I actually can switch between upper and lower. If I go, not sure if I typed the correct one, upper of T, it will transfer everything. If I do lower of S, S had a capital S in it. What's that? So I can easily go from upper to lower cases and everything. Upper T 1, 2, 5. Not sure if I'm T 1, 2, 5. Yeah? I can just take a subset of of t and turn that into upper or a single letter or whatever. Let me see where we were. So that we did, yeah. So same here. If I compare S and T, ABC and CBA, it says the first character is not the same, the second character matches, and the third one doesn't match. So that's what we did with string and string two and string three. Then upper and lower, we did that. Yeah. Then we can pretend we're working with numbers. Pi equals 3.1416. Yeah? What did I do? Did it? No. I forgot one. There it is. Now it's pi a string. Capital pi is a string. The string 3.1416. So we have capital pi, and we have lower pi. And they look very much alike, right? Except one has quotes around it and the other doesn't. So what if I have pi plus 1? What is that? Yeah, 4.1416. What if I have capital pi plus 1? What will that be? Yeah, I take a string indeed, and I add an integer. What will that result in? It probably is not a string four point. That's odd, right? So what? Error message. That's a possibility too. Could be an error message. Okay. Well, then Python and MATLAB do differ somewhat. I'll get this.
Is the ASCII code?
Yeah, it's the ASCII code. Yeah.
Exactly. Pi is a vector of characters. And a character is simply an ASCII code, but then displayed in a different way. So the 3 is actually ASCII code 51. And then I add 1 to that ASCII code. So 52.
How do I print out the ASCII code without?
Sorry? If you want the... Okay. How would you do that? So I have 3.1416 as a string, and I want to know the ASCII codes.
Use the ASCII function.
Well, that could be, but... let's see if that works. I'm not sure what the ASCII function is, so let's see ASCII. Let's see if there is something that... added. What does it say? ASCII to FTS, ASCII decode, so should that be the one? I don't know. ASCII decode. Yeah, and then P, let's first try this one. That doesn't really work. ASCII decode, yeah. But here I heard something. What did you say? Who said it? Yeah, what if I add 0? Before, when I added 1, I said, okay, 52, that's the ASCII code for 3, which is 51, plus 1. So if I add 0, then it shows the ASCII codes by itself. Maybe a bit surprising, but yeah, that's the way that MATLAB handles this. Yeah. So if you want to go to ASCII codes, then if you want to go back... I can actually use answer, right? Answer is a variable. Answer is this vector now. Yeah, I think if I say gach of ans, I can put it into, yeah. Yeah. So what if I did this? Gach of pi plus 1. So what did I do now? Gach of pi plus 1. I look at pi. Yeah, as a vector of characters, and look at the ASCII code of that and add 1 to that, and then I actually turn that result back into character. So a 3 will go to a 4, and a 1 will go to a 2, etc., etc., and actually the dot will apparently go to a slash. So yes, you can calculate, you can do mathematics with strings too, but then remember that it is related to the ASCII code of the characters. String to num though, that's an interesting, I should have said that too. Where are we there? Pi is a string, right? But actually that string represents a number. And I can, with the transformation string to number, I can make that transformation. And you see now there are no quotes around it. So that means that this is an answer. If you look here, answer now is represented as a matrix. So it's a normal number. It's not a vector of characters.
But if the string is actually a string?
String to num of string. Can't compute it. What does it say actually? String to number, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, to double quote. So it really is a string now, but doesn't represent a number. So if I do. Oh yeah, I can go the other way also. Num to string of pi, format long, so now pi is all of a sudden in this, num to string of pi, still takes a short one. Bit surprising, but apparently when you go number to a string, it takes a short notation. A string was a vector of characters. Or we can also make an array of characters. Yeah, so in the first row there is John, and the second row there is Kari, and then the third row there is Knut. Those are my friends. Can you do that? Can you make this matrix and see what it looks like? Everything goes well, it's a 3x4 matrix just with these names in it. And last year I had two different teaching assistants, Kyle and Merita. So we can define them too, right? The same way. We have a matrix, and then we have, instead of three elements, we have now two, because I had two TAs, and the first one is Merita, and the second one is Kyle. What happens then? Does it work? No, you get an error. Why? I'm creating a matrix where the first row has 6 elements and the second row has only 4 elements. And in a matrix, all rows should be equal in size. You could put 2 spaces after Kyle, but that's not exactly what we want. Oh. There we are. So that doesn't really work at the end. But we can use cell structures. If you put not square brackets around it, but the curly brackets, then it really does not complain about this. I have a cell structure, and the first element is a string of 6, which is has a particular format, a string of length 6, and then the second element is a string of length 4. In other language, here it's called cell cell structure in other languages, often called pointer. Nobody likes to work with pointers, at least we didn't early on. But yeah, it works in more or less the same way. Actually, cell arrays can contain different types. I could have a cell where the first is the string Merita and the second is the number 17. Doesn't matter. We can make cell structures in more dimensions. Then when we do the assignment, we have to put the curly brackets around the indices. Yeah, so the first row, first column is a matrix, is a vector called Patrick. Second row, first is Merita, and then Kyle, and then some numbers in the second column. Could also have done it like this, because comma means the same row, semicolon means the next row. Yeah, and I can make one called info, one called alternative one. Yeah, where obviously Kyle is now changing to Pepes, which was born in 1970, if I understood correctly. And then we might try to compare. So how do I compare cell strings? Well, that's string compare could be something, because there are strings in there. Yeah, but these are not strings. Set difference. Yeah, I'm not looking at sets. I think that should be 1T in set diff. I have another alternative where I actually swapped Kyle and Merita. So now we can see how we can compare. Well, let's first try the simple one, is. They are the same size, right? The 3x2 cell arrays, all three of them. What if I use is? Apparently I get an error. Set diff gives me an error apparently also. Set diff, it gives me the difference between two sets. Yeah, and curly brackets often indicate a set. Set diff, this will give me Kyle. What is this? I'm looking at the cell structure info, all the rows, but just column one. So I'm just looking at these elements. And the same for alternative one, just these elements. And the difference is indeed Kyle, because Kyle is in this one, but not in this one. So note that set diff actually tells me what elements are in this one that are not in this one. It doesn't tell me that, the other way around. It doesn't tell me that Pepes was added in alternative one. It just tells me that in info one are a number of elements, and not all of them are in this one, because Kyle is missing. Last year they had an assignment where they had to use cells, so that was more important last year than now. Yeah.
I was just wondering, when you're operating with strings like these names, is there any reason to use cell arrays instead of string arrays?
Say again. Because I'm using a cell array because not all the names are the same length. I can use a structure, for example, also, but this was to show what a cell structure did, a cell type did. Yeah, there are different ways of doing this, of putting that information in a.